And tonight, we are going to begin the program right after the first break with someone we have not had on in actually quite some time. And he is Reverend Ted Pike, who, as you know, is the head of the forum Truth Tellers, truthtellers.org. You can go to it on your internet access, www.truthtellers.org, and you will see his postings and his messages, his information on everything from hate crimes legislation to the topic we'll be discussing primarily tonight, the ACLU, and the fact that it is, in the words of Ted Pike, top-heavy with Jews. So we will talk about that tonight. We welcome your participation, your questions for Mr. Pike, your comments as well. And that is a very interesting topic because as we go along with it, we will find some interesting and fascinating interlocking relationships between the ACLU organization and much more prestigious groups at the very top of this apex of Zionism, communism, Marxism, socialism, and all of it put together. You'll find some interesting relationships. And I think if you do your homework, you'll know why America is the host and these people are the parasites. And the host will only be given so much time before it is devoured. So we will talk about that tonight on the program with Ted Pike, who is standing by in the wings waiting to make his appearance. And with all that's going on in Congress now and all of the phony Republicans and the evangelicals backing all of these hand-picked, Zionist evangelical Christian-type congressmen who are now falling from grace, I think it's about time we started to clean house and we started to realize where the problem lies. So it's a perfect time, excellent timing, and we will do this tonight. We welcome your participation right here on Uncensored Radio Free America. Rick Adams, your radio avenger, the Paul Revere of talk radio, because I'm sounding the alarm. Our guest is Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, and the National Patriotic Organization of American Christians. Of course, I'd like to welcome him to the program right now. Ted, good evening.
Good evening, Rick. Thanks for having me.
Yes, you do wear two or three hats, I guess, and two or three organizations. So just so people will know, they'll know you by currently by, of course, the truthtellers.org, and then you have another network of patriotic organizations, right?
Yes, that's the National Prayer Network. That's a loosely arranged group of talk show hosts around the country and the world and patriotic Americans, evangelical Christians, who are very concerned about the basically the encroachment of this problem of evil Jewish leadership, evil Jewish activism, largely through ADL, B'nai B'rith, which is very effective in taking away our freedoms these days.
Mm-hmm. You know, just by word of introduction, maybe I should just start with a little bit of information about how, the ACLU as an organization was formed almost at the same time that the Council on Foreign Relations was formed, and not too many years after the ADL had become actively involved in the American political landscape, you see, in the teens, and around the time of World War I, they had become active. And I believe it was around 1920 or so that you had various individuals who had decided that the time had come to form this legal organization, that is, an organization that would litigate on behalf of various organizations and individuals who sought to essentially change America from a Republican form of government into a tyrannical socialist centralized government. And that's essentially what they did in the name of civil liberties, right?
That certainly is, but Roger Baldwin was very candid. He says basically the goal is communism.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
Roger Baldwin, the founder.
Yes, and these left-wing socialist American groups came out largely out of the out of the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917, which was entirely dominated by Jewish money, Jewish commissars, international power brokers of Hamburg and London and New York, financed Trotsky and Lenin and so on, and deposed the Romanov dynasty in Russia. But a lot of left-wingers and left-wing Jews came into the FDR administration in the 30s. Mm-hmm. And in fact, FDR did actually say some of my best friends
are
Jews.
Exactly.
Not Jews, are communists.
Communists,
yeah.
Yes.
But there were very, very powerful people. And what we have here is a labyrinth, a network, tentacles of an octopus, which comes out of basically international apostate Jewry. It comes out of religious origins, going back clear to the Pharisees, the Talmud and Kabbalah, and all that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're seeing today is that these Jewish muscle organizations, these front organizations, and I include the ACLU among them, are in full-scale attack now against evangelical Christianity. And I probably mentioned on your program previously how Rabbi Lapin of Seattle has warned the church last summer that is the case, that so-called secular Judaism is now in relentless attack against evangelical Christians. And what we have to do, as you mentioned at the beginning of this program, is we are going to have to just settle down here, quit calling these people the liberals and the New World Order and secular humanists, and embrace ourselves for the fact that we're under a revival of New Testament persecution against Christianity coming from basically the same people.
Exactly. You know, I was looking at some of the historical documents in the prayer case, which I'm sure you're familiar with, the case that really, well, it really started in 1958 and 59 with five parents in the New York City School District of Long Island, two of whom were Jewish, one a member of the Ethical Culture Society, a Unitarian and an atheist. They brought the suit against the school board of Union Free School District number 9, to outlaw the use of the Board of Regents prayer, as you probably recall. What's interesting is that there were some 20 states that came into the case as friends of the court to support the position of the school board. Now, on the opposite side, guess who we find? Well, of course, the ACLU, but then we find the American Jewish Committee, the Anti-Defamation League, and other Jewish organizations supporting the five parents who objected to the prayer. And, of course, that is typical from the 1940s and 50s, particularly onward, as far as this march toward a centralized government control in violation of everything the founding fathers of this nation intended in the Constitution.
Yes. Well, most people don't recognize Jewish names when they hear them, but over the decades, the last 20 or 30 years, I have been noticing in newspaper articles and media reports about the latest case against prayer in the schools, or against crosses, or against crucifixes, or in public
or chaplains in the U.S. service. Yeah.
And most people, the names just go by. They don't pay any attention to who the plaintiffs are in these cases. I notice those things, and almost invariably they're Jewish. There may be even a Jewish parent or a Jewish rabbi or a Jewish businessman or lawyer or front organization, but the real motivation for stripping us of our Christian observances and symbols has come from the Jewish activism.
Mm-hmm. And you point out in your press release that although the ACLU's current executive director, Anthony Romero, is an in-your-face Hispanic homosexual, the second and third in command, as well as others across the state's chapters, are almost invariably liberal secularist Jews.
Yes, that's right. Anthony Romero, I believe, is kind of window dressing. He's a figurehead. But if you go to the ACLU website, you find a much more generous promotion of Nadine Strossen, who is the president of the ACLU. And also of Stephen Shapiro, who is their legal counsel. He's in charge of 90 full-time lawyers in the United States who are basically doing nothing, largely nothing more than going after Christians and Christian observances and so on. And we're seeing even this week I believe it's down in San Diego, that a large memorial
yes.
cross
yep.
has been successful, is being successfully taken down by the ACLU.
Yes, incredible, but so. And I should stress that this individual, Nadine Strossen, is also a member of the Council on Foreign Relations.
Yes.
And again, I have to point that out because there is an interlocking relationship between the elites of the Council on Foreign Relations, which, by the way, as you probably remember, was also formed around 1919 or 20, just around the same time, and its founder also boasted, Mr. Edward Mandel House, that they were working for socialism.
Yeah,
that's what
right.
they were working for, internationalism and socialism. So she's
yeah.
a member of the CFR. The CFR and the ACLU, ironically and interestingly enough, have a very similar agenda at most times.
Well, they certainly do. I believe the ACLU has a unique function in distracting Christian evangelicals and the New Right from the real comfort behind all of this, which is largely ADL B'nai B'rith.
Right.
You see, just for example, putting a Hispanic homosexual, Anthony
sure.
Romero, as your national executive director, the kind of a red flag waved in front of the church, isn't it? It's
right.
it's a provocation, and
mm-hmm.
what the ACL does is it's just overtly antagonistic and outrageous and blasphemous and defiling. They're defending the pornographers and the crucifixes in jars of urine and things like that. They're just looking for cases which will excite the anger of the evangelical church. Now, the church has basically about 20 years ago, they pretty much decided that they were going to vilify the ACLU. That would be their whipping boy, their perfect villain, I believe for one reason, and that is that there was not a popular conception of the ACLU as being Jewish. And that's not true of the ADL. The ADL is 100% Jewish, but here was a perfect enemy, a perfect a scarecrow to drive your lances through. This was something that
mm-hmm.
was really very appealing to the New Right, that they could go after the ACLU, villainize it, and lead the evangelicals against it. Now, that's exactly what's happening today, and I believe the ACLU is in the business of providing provocations to the New Right and draining off all of their attention and their energies
mm-hmm.
away from the ADL.
Mm-hmm.
And in this latest e-alert, which I do have posted at truthtellers.org, I describe the mammoth progress of the ADL over that past 20 or 30 years as the ADL has been basically delivering hammer blows, bludgeoning free speech in the Western Hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I enumerate, maybe I could just do that briefly.
Sure.
1990, the ADL passed its Hate Crime Statistic Act, and the church was oblivious to this. That put ADL in control of all hate crimes education and definitions and
mm-hmm.
enforcement in FBI, Justice Department, and all police departments in America.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the next 10 or 12 years, during the 90s, without a whisper of opposition from the church, ADL was able to pass about 46 of its hate bills, model anti-hate legislation in 46 legislatures in America, establishing their hate crimes laws in the state.
Yes, yes, leading up to something. All right, stay where you are, Ted. We'll be right back with you, and we'll take calls tonight as well. Ted Pike, truthtellers.org, Rick Adams, interviewing on Uncensored Radio Free America. Stay tuned for more. And we're back now with Ted Pike. Ted, you were just making a little evolution, if I may use that term, of the synopsis of the plans of the ADL in particular behind the various front groups that they have used, like the ACLU and Morris D's group and others that are working for the communization and Talmudization of American society today. Continue, please.
Well, thank you. While the church has basically been chasing off against the ACLU, the ADL has been working quietly behind the scenes, accreting hate crimes bureaucracies,
mm-hmm.
which outlaw public criticism of homosexuality and Judaism in Canada, Europe, and Australia, and New Zealand. And also, just in the last year and a half, the ADL, Deny the Rift People, have taken over our U.S. State Department and created mm-hmm. an Office of Global Anti-Semitism mm-hmm. there.
Yes.
And I have articles on that subject at my website in which I show how they are attempting to create twisted definitions of anti-Semitism, which actually make evangelical Christians into anti-Semites and possible hate criminals.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the international level, the ADL, Deny the Rift, is creating a vast 55-member nation hate crimes bureaucracy in Europe. It's the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And they are attempting to basically end freedom of speech on the Internet as one of their top priorities, ending so-called cyber hate. And that's what we're on right now, Rick, is a cyber hate broadcast. They're, mm-hmm. they're attempting to, mm-hmm. to strip the Internet of any of these broadcasts which are critical of matters Jewish.
Mm-hmm.
So this is, yes.
No, it's all right. Go ahead. Continue.
Well, what we see here is a vast diversionary purpose for the ACLU, and tragically, I believe because evangelical leaders abhor the idea of being called anti-Semitic, they have not gone after the hate crimes agenda because that's so clearly an ADL Jewish thing. That they wanted to be safe, and the ACLU has been a good whipping boy, but we've paid a tremendous price for it.
Now, let me ask you this now, because you know as often as many times, indeed, the ACLU will deviate from their assigned role, and they might do something right for the wrong reasons.
Yes.
And what they will do is defend, as you remember, the rights of the neo-Nazis in Skokie, Illinois,
uh-huh.
and much to the dissatisfaction of some of the leaders in the Jewish community. Although that rift could be healed and was healed very quickly, they will take a turn, a left turn, a right turn to deviate from the road, making it appear as if they are actually pretty fairly consistent and middle of the road rather than being extreme left or a front group from the ADL. And you find that to be the case in its history, don't you?
Well, of course, it's kind of a lost leader type of philosophy.
Right.
But what you have to do is you have to look at the whole general curve, which is anti-Christian, which is
mm-hmm.
Supporting everything that is tearing down Christian civilization. And that's inarguable. The record of the ACLU is very transparent. What most people don't know is that two of the three top leaders of the ADL
mm-hmm.
are very, very focused, very intelligent Jews, and as we mentioned earlier, connected in with this whole network, this network of Jewish so-called civil liberties organizations.
Yes.
Let me just mention a couple more of these Jewish civil liberties organizations. There's the People for the American Way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that, of course, was founded and directed by Norman Lear, the profane TV, Hollywood TV producer. And under Lear, there's the three out of eight Jewish national leaders of People for the American Way. And then there's the Southern Poverty Law Center. People may remember that the Southern Poverty Law Center was the chief antagonist and plaintiff against Judge Roy Moore mm-hmm. in Alabama, forcing him to take down the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court house. And what people don't know, though, is that the three top leaders of the Southern Poverty Law Center are Jewish. There's Richard Cohen, who is the president and CEO, and then, of course, the infamous Morris Deese, who is the founder and chief trial counsel. And then number three is Joseph Levin Jr., who was a founder and is now the president emeritus. So here are obviously Jewish organizations, along with the ADL, B'nai B'rith, which are extremely top-heavy with Jewish activists.
Mm-hmm. And for obvious reasons, indeed. The plan is pretty, I think it's pretty pretentious and pretty clear. And indeed, what we have is the parasites eating the host.
Yeah,
and destroying
well,
the foundation of America.
Yeah, well, that's incredible enough, Rick. But where are the church leaders who are the victims, who are the host, whose innards are being devoured by these tapeworms?
They are willing indeed suppliers,
yeah.
Aren't they?
Why don't they speak out and at least identify the spiritual and racial identity of these vicious antagonists? But that's not happening.
There's good reason for that, too, Ted. All right, we'll be right back, and we will take calls, 1-800-313-9443. Ted Pike, director of the National Prayer Network, and don't forget, truthtellers.org is the website. I'm Rick Adams. We shall return in just 3 minutes. And we're back with Ted Pike. Ted, you also have taken note of the fact that besides the legal arm of the revolution in America, the ACLU, the National Lawyers Guild, and, of course, we mentioned the other organizations, Southern Poverty Law Center and so forth, these are the, if you will, the bottom of the vice, the top, the CFR types, the Trilats, the big and powerful corporations, the Ford Foundation, these groups, tax-exempt financing, the communist, Marxist, socialist groups at the bottom. So there's the American public has its head right in the middle of that vice being squeezed from both top and bottom, and they're not even aware of it.
Yeah, I couldn't say that any better, Rick.
Well, I mean that's the dialectic that has been used since day one. If you want to destroy a country, certainly you get control of the media, and you make sure that you poison the minds of an entire nation, and then you also take over the courts. And this they did, as you mentioned, the Roosevelt administration, the Frankfurters, the Douglases, and so forth, who were responsible for the deconstitutionalizing of America in their Supreme Court decisions.
Yeah,
but
well,
also,
yeah, go ahead.
Also, you point out through the pen of Harmony Grant that now we have this Sumner Redstone giant, Viacom, which, as you know, has Paramount Pictures, Blockbuster Video, and a number of other organizations. And it now has decided that MTV is not enough, VH1 is not enough. Now they have the channel for Gay America.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, this has been going on a long time. We are reeling from some problems which began in their full force around the turn of the century. In a nutshell, basically, a horde of Jews came over from Eastern Europe around the turn of the century.
Mm-hmm.
Thousands of Jews came into New York as immigrants, ignorant of English, but very savvy in the ways of the world and making money and promotion and things like that. And they set themselves up as theater owners, small-time movie makers. Eventually, they moved out to the sunny California and established Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
And the Encyclopedia Judaica, which is the authoritative source on matters Jewish in the 20th century, says that all of the Hollywood studios, except for United Artists, were founded and controlled by these Jews. And then out of that came the three big TV networks founded by Leonard Goldenson in 1940, and earlier by William Paley, and also by David Sarnoff.
Mm-hmm.
We have NBC, CBS, and ABC.
Right.
So we have the big three networks, and these have been the prong, the attack guard of anti-Christianity, going literally into every living room in America for the last century through radio, and then through television. We have a media monopoly here, which literally is like a hand upon the spigot of information into Heartland America. Not only have they corrupted our morals, especially after the 60s, when they began to not only promote promiscuity, adultery, but then homosexuality, but literally now we are being sent off to war in the Middle East to satisfy the propaganda demands of this media. And it's not enough that our families are broken up through pornography and sex and drugs and so on promoted by the evil Jewish media, but Now they are demanding that thousands of our young men and women die in Iraq in a misguided effort to make the Middle East safe for Israel. That's why we are over there.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about that. And you point out also that one of the ringleaders here himself, Abraham Foxman, who is the national director of the Anti-Defamation League, and Rabbi Eric Yoffe, president of the Union for Reform Judaism, have given back-to-back speeches attacking the Christian right. Now, this is interesting. What they're attacking, really, is the scriptures. And here they are, supposed men of the cloth. You know, Abe Foxman was supposed to have become a rabbi. And these men...
Right.
Yeah, and you know, these men are supposed to be men of God, and yet here they are attacking not merely the so-called fundamental Christians of America today and their belief system, but they're really attacking the scriptures. They're going back and attacking the Word of God, which they claim to represent. Isn't that interesting?
Well, Abraham Foxman, in his latest book, which is called Never Again, the Threat of the New Anti-Semitism, he makes a very passionate case that Christianity, the New Testament scriptures, are the source of anti-Semitism throughout the last two millennia, and specifically the root cause behind the so-called Holocaust against the Jews in Germany during World War II. And certainly this is the overriding message of a Holocaust museum in Washington, D.C., which is an ADL project, that Christianity is a hateful and hurtful religion. It's bigoted and biased not only against Jews but against homosexuals and so on. And see, this is a foundation, this is a pretext and a premise for persecution of Christianity. And in fact, just recently, Abe Foxman attacked D. James Kennedy, Dr. Kennedy, well-known national religious leader. And Kennedy is producing a film in which he says that Darwin and the survival of the fittest concepts of natural selection, the raw determinism of evolution, the atheistic evolution, is the cause behind the Holocaust in World War II. Anyway, Foxman became violently angry at Kennedy for making that assertion because Kennedy's getting over on his turf. He has a hold on that idea. He says Christianity is the cause of the Holocaust. He's not going to give that cause away to anybody else except Christianity, because he needs to make this case against Christianity in order to persecute it in the future. So here we have a person who, as you said, is deeply religious. Abraham Foxman, you know, he's been described as a secular Jew and so on. Nonsense. He's a deeply religious Orthodox Jew. He was a member of the Teaneck Orthodox congregation for 25 years after entering the ADL, and he only left that particular congregation because they weren't praying for Israel as passionately as they should be. And here's a man who advocates much greater religious education for Jewish young people in America in Talmud and Kabbalah and so on, and yet at the same time, he is promoting pornography, he is promoting homosexuality, full-tilt against Christianity.
You know, when I see somebody as despicable as an Abe Foxman, who has no shame, no remorse, absolutely no conscience, and has been condemned, by the way, by many in his own circles. Many Jewish people have condemned him on those grounds as being a hypocrite and a money raiser and a money grubber and, you know, a liar and everything else. I think of Caiaphas, the high priest. When I see and hear Abe Foxman, I can't help but think of Caiaphas and the high priest confronting Jesus. And they were doing 2,000 years ago, it seems, what they're doing today again.
That's right. It's the same system. Judaism really never changes. You see, Judaism, that's Orthodox Judaism or Talmudic Judaism, teaches that when a great rabbi, like the first or second century rabbi, he had a pivotal role in creating the Talmud, when they speak in the Talmud, they speak out of a memory which goes back even before they were born, when then in heaven they received these Talmudic truths from God himself. And so there's tremendous authority invested in the rabbis and their words, and the Talmud is taken dreadfully seriously, especially by Orthodox Jews in Israel today on the West Bank and so on. And what we have to remember is that doesn't change. Christianity came out of the old Hebrew religion, and a new age of grace canceled the hatred and the war-making of the old Hebrew nation and so on, which I believe was necessary in its time. But the new age of grace that said, love your enemy and do good to those who despitefully use you and so on. Bless them and don't curse them. Well, Judaism has never gone through that kind of a transformation. They came directly out of the sword of Joshua and the punitive attitude against heresy and so on, which St. Paul reflected in the beginning of his career as he harried and persecuted Christians. The book of Acts is full of this record of this single-minded determination of the Pharisees and their Sanhedrin to extirpate Christianity before it got started. Now, obviously, they failed, but their great ambition has been to revive that persecution. And now in the 20th and 21st century, when they have such massive control of government, media, finance, and so on, they are in the driver's seat, resolved to renew that kind of persecution of the church.
Well, that is certainly a persecution that is growing across, as you point out, much of the world. The only part of the world, ironically, where you have a defense of Christianity is indeed in the Muslim world today.
Yeah.
And in the Arabic world, where we're told, by the way, that that is not the case, that they hate America, they hate Christians, they hate Jews, and it seems as if these ADL types, these Talmudists, really and truly see the Muslims now as the last land to be conquered. That is the last threat to their agenda to subdue the rest of the world under their authority.
Yes.
Is that a fair assessment in your view?
There are Muslim countries who in Africa and in the Middle East who are very repressive of Christianity.
No doubt about that.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But on the other hand, the Quran is benevolent toward Christ and the Virgin Mary and so on, and says a number of flattering things about the founder of Christianity. That can't be said of the Talmud. The Talmud is full of hatred against Jesus Christ, desecration of the name of Mary, and full of hate and vowing revenge and the desire to overcome the Gentiles and basically set up a new world order. This is very deeply ingrained into both the Talmud and the Zohar or the Kabbalah.
Mm-hmm.
I should just mention before we go on,
yes,
this persecution of Christians is underway now, not only through the hate laws, ADL hate laws, especially in Canada and around the world and in Europe and Australia, New Zealand, but also the military chaplains are feeling the brunt of this Jewish activism. As I probably mentioned in a previous program last year, Mikey Weinstein was a Jewish activist who launched a suit against the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs, demanding that they end their discrimination against Jews by demanding that they not allow Christian cadets to witness in the name of Jesus or chaplains to pray in public in the name of Jesus.
Right.
And Weinstein was successful in that suit. And that the decision was upheld by the chief ethical consultant to the Air Force, which is Rabbi Arnold Reznikoff. And Reznikoff also helped lay down the guidelines of no witnessing for the name of Jesus in the Navy. Now, the Navy chaplain Gordon Klingenschmitt was arrested for several months ago for witnessing, I should say, saying a prayer in the name of Jesus.
He said he would do that. He was on this program and said he would.
I hope we can have him back on.
We will.
He has failed to tell.
We will.
But he was found guilty. He was court-martialed several weeks ago. Is awaiting sentencing. But he and I think it's 68 other Navy chaplains are suing the Navy for abridgment of their free speech. Now, also, I should point out that as a result of a lot of controversy and a lot of good press, which Klingenschmitt got from Dobson and James Kennedy and so on, has been a tremendous pressure on Congress. And just recently in conference, the Senate and House voted in conference to allow these chaplains their freedom of speech, which was a tremendous victory. But at the same time, this evil Jewish activism is very relentless, very focused, and They may win. They may lose a case or two here, but they have such an agenda that is so widespread and pervasive that, in my opinion, unless the church speaks out and speaks out soon, drawing national attention and creating embarrassment for them, they will only continue to prevail.
Well, now, let me ask you about the resolutions that have been passed. What is the current status of them right now?
You're talking about in the Senate Arms Bill?
Right. The one to basically reverse this horrific violation of the constitutional religious liberties of the chaplains.
Well, that was language inserted by Senator Gordon Hunter in the latest arms appropriation bill. Mm-hmm. It was being adjudicated in conference between the House and Senate. Yeah, I don't know the final specific language. I do know that Klingenschmitt was jubilant, and other new right leaders and columnists and so on were elated because it seemed to give freedom of speech back. They didn't. Some of them said they would have liked it to have been more specific, but I haven't actually read the text of the resolution.
Mm-hmm. All right, because I'd like to see if indeed this is part of that greater bill. I'd like to see what the White House will do with it. That should be very interesting.
Well, I think if you have Gordon Klingenschmitt on, he will give you a great detail on all that.
Yes, we will in the upcoming broadcasts. All right. 800-313-9443. If you do have a comment, a question, or a point you want to make with our guest, Ted Pike, Reverend Ted Pike, then by all means, jump on the line now. We have a break coming up, and we will take your calls if you do have questions or comments. And I know many of you find this just absolutely incredible, incredulous that, you know, we're at this stage in America today where literally we are hanging on by a thread. Our liberties, our freedoms are being sawed away like that cartoon character there that the buzzsaw or the handsaw is just sawing the floor out from under him. And we're on that last board now. Before all is lost, before our freedoms are finally and totally taken from us by this cabal of Zionist, Jewish, racist activists. So I think we have an obligation to expose it and bring it to the attention of the world. And we are speaking to the world right now on Uncensored Radio Free America. And we are here because we are the watchmen on the wall, and we are the light that exposes and displaces the darkness. And there is much darkness in this world today, as Jesus said, in these days in which we live, when darkness prevails. But he is the light of the world, and I believe that that no matter what the evil deeds are of these groups and their cohorts, by the way, their fellow travelers, who they would refer to as the goyim, who do their dirty work, that they are going to be defeated, and they will be expunged. So stay tuned. We'll be back. Ted Pike, our guest, fascinating program, Jump Aboard. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, will return. Yes, that town is Sodom and Gomorrah, and that's becoming our nation today. And we're with Ted Pike now from the National Prayer Network and truthtellers.org on the Internet. We have a lot of calls, Ted, so let's start off, all right? Let's take some calls, and I trust you can stay into the second hour.
Oh, certainly.
Okay. Eric in Oklahoma is first off. Hello, Eric. You're on with Ted Pike.
Hello, Rick Adams. How are you doing?
Okay, thank you.
Pastor Pike, good to speak to you, sir.
Thank you.
Rick, you brought up the dialectic a few minutes ago, and that's what we're engaged in, is the dialectic. That is the battle.
Right.
And in the media right now, the only two viewpoints that you hear really on Christianity is is a Catholic viewpoint, and anything else pretty much is the fundamentalist Christian portrayed as the fag hating God hates fags, break up military funeral processions, with the Amish girls that were killed, that the Amish girls will go to hell because they're not really Christians, because they're some kind of cult. I heard this on the radio today, and I've had some interesting discussions with some friends. So this is the point of Christianity that's being pushed. So we are under persecution. We're made to look like relegated to the sidelines as kooks and fools.
You know,
it's
ironic in what you just said, if I may interject. Ted, you can correct me if I'm wrong, if you think I'm wrong. But, you know, with this tragedy that just took place in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you notice the attitude of the Amish and how truly, I believe, truly Christian they have shown themselves to be in that they do forgive. And they don't say never forgive, never forget. And they have exemplified everything that Christianity should exemplify. Whereas with the so-called evangelical Christians, who are Zionist Christians to the core, and the Israeli government, which says that the life of one Jew is worth more than the thousands of lives of the non-Jew across the world, that includes the Christians, isn't that a perfect opposite, you know, in terms of a construct, wouldn't you say?
Well, certainly, Rick and Eric, what we're seeing is a tremendous corruption of Christianity,
mm-hmm.
authentic Christianity,
mm-hmm.
by the church getting into an unholy alliance with these Zionist ADL leaders. You know, the scripture says if you bid Godspeed to an evil man,
yes.
you become a partaker
of their evil deeds. Yeah.
That means
yeah.
you partake of his delusions. You mm-hmm. partake of his sins and his injustices and all of that, and it just breaks my heart what has happened to literally the tens of millions of evangelicals, many of whom are very good and kind people, the salt of the earth, but they've been led astray
by these
blind guys and
yes.
Pharisees.
Yes, indeed,
well,
like the sheep. Go ahead, Eric.
It started in the 1800s, and everybody knows the story of how this came to be. I don't want to get into this, but suffice it to say that you earlier you were speaking of I'm sorry, I'm not, my words are not coming to me right now.
I understand.
But,
calm down. That's all right. That's okay.
But the anarchists when at the beginning when America really started going downhill, when the socialists and the anarchists took control, all the anarchist literature was printed in Yiddish. And the first films that were ever used as propaganda to put up the message of unionization and social justice, everything was in Yiddish. There were very few films that were actually in English, even in America at that time.
Well, that's true. Unfortunately, that is true, Ted. All right, Eric, we have to break. Thank you for your
time. Rick, very good. Thank you very much. Good to talk
to you.
You're
welcome. All right. Got a break for 1 minute. Hour number two coming right up, and then we'll talk to Mike and Roseanne and Debbie and John and you. Coming up next, we'll be right back with Ted Pike.